Hello, 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 everyone. I hope you guys are doing great on this fine Friday. I am very passionate about this topic today. So with that being said, I'm sure you guys can already tell that it is about fitness and health and nutrition and all that good stuff, diet, and what we consume. So I want to just jump right in and kind of talk about how this idea for this topic came about. I know I have some content out already regarding nutrition and, you know, eating healthy and working out and stuff like that. But in this one, I kind of wanted to just revamp or have some fresher, newer, newly accessible content regarding nutrition on my podcast. With that being said, I'm going to tell you kind of lay the groundwork of how it came about. And honestly, I was literally at work with a patient like day before last, and I was like, I want to talk about nutrition. Like, it came to my mind, because as you guys know, like I said, that it's my passion and I love it so much, everything that it involves. And I really enjoy continuing to educate and enlighten myself on different dietary styles and ways of eating, even though it's not conducive to me as a person, because just another update. I recently, as in like the last 2 to 3 weeks, I just switched back to being vegan, with the exception to eggs. Eggs seem to not really mess with my digestion or like my gastrointestinal tract. I feel so, like when I eat them, I feel fine. But that's honestly like the only animal product or animal byproduct that I don't really feel sick after eating or like nauseous or queasy. So I love that for me. Because as I've stated before, it's very hard to get your protein in as a vegan. But I'm giving it a second go around. And if you may have forgotten or don't know, but I was vegan from summer of 2021, June 2021, until August of 2022. So a little, or I guess like right at a year, a little over a year. I was 100% vegan, and then August 2022, I switched to pescatarian. So, you know, that involves your shrimp, your fish, and yeah, that's what I've done essentially. Well, this is what, June now, so about June, July, about 10 months or so is about how long I've been practicing being a pescatarian. And my take on the whole pescatarian life is, if you love seafood or like you like, you know, literally seafood, then crustacean, then I love that for you. For me, it kind of just got a little redundant and repetitive. I feel like it was easier being vegan because there's so much that's like interchangeable, and you can, the variety and like the variations and just the different ways that you can put, you know, salads together or bowls and things like that. So, for me, I'm editing my note on my whiteboard here in front of me. That is why I decided to step away from being pescatarian. And yeah, my body felt fine when I would have it. But we change things sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm going back to my vegan basics, again, with the exception to eggs. So I guess one probably might consider me a pescatarian, but I mean a vegetarian instead of being a vegan. But it's like I tell some people, you know, because you work out like once or twice a month or so, like in my opinion, or doing anything in an inconsistent like time frame or span, or like how often or frequent you do something, in my opinion, you can't really stand and say that that's what you do. So that's kind of how it is for me with eggs. Like, I don't eat them all the time or every day, but I will every now and then. So that's why I claim veganism again. But yeah, and just kind of, again, I want to talk about like what eating looks like for me now, kind of explain two different eating styles that you may not have heard of before, or that you may have heard of a lot be thrown around, especially I feel like with the fitness and health culture nowadays, there's so many like different terms and like diets and ways of eating being thrown around. And it's honestly always been that way. Or there's programs that people follow, like Weight Watchers, or they do the Curves, or they do Jenny Craig, or they do the Atkins. Like, it's so many different ones. But these ones are not like fad or like commercialized ones. I definitely don't feel like they are. But I'll talk about that more in a little bit. And I just want to start by saying, so kind of to go back to what I was saying about how the topic came about, I was literally at work just thinking about nutrition and dietary consumption and food labels and all that. Literally, I was with a patient and my mind was just like rattling on. And then just so happened to, well, yesterday at work, my coworker Jay, she was like, "Hey, I have a question that's not really about work." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, what's up?" And she's like, "Do you work out?" And I was like, "Yes." And she's like, "So you eat healthy?" And I'm like, "Girl, you don't even know what to have. And you don't want to have that conversation with me." But she was like, "How do you do it? Like working as much as we do and like these long hours, like how do you make it work?" And I'm gonna be honest with y'all too. Like, I feel like, I don't know if it's because my life just looked a lot different back then, but now it's really difficult for me to work out, like to find the time and the energy and the want to do that. And I know a lot of it has to do with, I feel like I've succeeded with what I want to look like because I'm very happy with my body and what I look like. Not too much now because I'm not a skinny mini. I'm not a skinny legend. Although my nieces and my family in Georgia here calls me that because they're used to me having looked a certain way, you know, so long ago. That's just ever since I've been on my transition and my journey, they've always referred to me as a skinny legend. But I'm definitely not. And I've said it before, but skinny does not equate to healthy. It absolutely doesn't, because I say it all the time, but I'm like, if I lose 20 more pounds, I'm going to look sick. Like, it's not always the best thing to just be like teeny tiny small. Which this is super random, but also I don't think people understand the difference between petite and like skinny. Because petite, when you shop as a petite person, like I am petite. Again, I'm not all skin and bones. My thighs are never going anywhere. You know, my hips aren't going anywhere, whatever. But I'm not skinny or slim in that manner. But a lot of people, because I've had like, one of my cousins, we were talking about being petite or something like that. And she's like, "You're not really petite." And I'm like, "Yes, I am." And she's like, "Well, no." We were not comparing, but we were talking about the social media star, Jada Chavez. She's had the BBL and the whole body done and all that. But I think she's like 4'8 or like 4'9, something like that. I am like a solid 5 foot even flat. And we were talking about her and she was like, "She has a really petite frame." And I'm like, "Yeah, she does. She's just like me." And my cousin was like, "No, she's not." And she was like, "You don't have a petite frame like that." And I'm like, "Yes, I do." But petite means short. Like when you shop in the petite section, you're not going to find, like if you're a girl and you're like 5'8 or 5'9, you're not going to find anything to fit you into the petite section. Even if you are a skinny mini, like, Zoe off of Proud Family, like y'all know how skinny and skin and bones and teeny tiny Zendaya is really skinny, but she's not gonna find clothing in the petite section. Like she's just not, because she's gonna flood. And petite is designed like that styling of like clothes is designed for short women, like short people. I guess guys have a petite section, I don't know, but petite is actually for short people, not skinny minis. It's just short. It's about your height. Kind of on tangent there, forgive me. But yeah, so Jay was asking me and I was like, "Girl, you do not want to have that conversation with me." And we talked for like 20 minutes about just like diet, our dietary intake, the fact that it's a lifestyle and not I want to diet, like approaching it as more of a lifestyle, because that's easier to adapt to and to be, you know, on a consistency with, rather than saying that it's a diet. Because what happens, you yo-yo diet, you fall off of a diet. And I was told in high school, diet is just the word diet with the letter T at the end. That's back when I was in high school and I don't even know what I was doing, but yeah. So, but I talked to her about, you know, how I read ingredient labels. I put a lot on her. Like I educated on her a lot and I was like, "I'm sorry if I'm talking too much." And she's like, "No," she's like, "I'm learning so much from this," because a lot of people, I feel like there's an overwhelming approach to transitioning when you're embarking on the journey of a healthy lifestyle change, whenever you are going from someone who pretty much eats whatever, or maybe doesn't eat the healthiest or the cleanest, but you do it every now and then, or you dabble in it throughout the week. But it's hard when you're when you're either just now starting that journey or you're restarting that journey. Because like for Jay, my coworker, she is restarting hers. Like she was moving and then like life just took over and stuff, which it happens to all of us. It's happened to me a few times and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think that that's the biggest thing is we force and pressure ourselves so much to have it all together and to check the nutrition and the physical exercise box at the exact same time when for me personally, that's the other thing too. It's conducive to the person. Like what works for me isn't going to work for you. One thing I want to say before I forget is when Jay asked me about my workout schedule, I'm like, girl, I don't be hitting it hard like that. She was like, what? You look like a bodybuilder. You look like you box and fight. And I'm like, first of all, I would love to do kickboxing again. And I definitely don't want to be a bodybuilder like that. Life is just not for me. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, not going back. But I'm like, so working in healthcare is so stressful and overwhelming and extremely overstimulating. Like today on Friday, I haven't worked a Friday since last summer. And that's back when I was at the hospital. But it's just like we work 11, 12 hour days at this dental office. Crazy, insane. I know. Monday through Thursday. And then you come in to ask me to come in on a Friday. It's just like, girl, BFFR, like be for real. Because why are you asking me this? And I want to do a whole separate conversation about like just working in the career, having a career in healthcare. But like for me, like, I don't know if I have any listeners on here that are in the healthcare industry or whatever, or what that looks like for you as far as being healthy and working out in your lifestyle. But for me, I typically work out Thursday nights, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I might do a two a day simply because Monday through Wednesday, I'm not working out. Like I've been on my feet for 11, 12 hours today and I'm just not going to do it. So I told Jay that and I suggested, she was like, oh, that's a good idea. She's like, well, I'm always so tired when I leave. She was like, girl, I'm the exact same way. I'm overstimulated. And by the time we get home, it's like 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. You better had hope that you meal prepped the night before, because what are you going to do instead? Bowl of cereal and milk, five seconds to make, or like, you know, something like that. I personally don't do that because I have my nutrition down to a T, to like down to a science now for me. And, you know, thankfully I don't have to operate that way. Now that's not to say that I don't have those moments, because I definitely do, but my cereals are also very healthy, and have like fiber and protein in them, but it looks different for every person and you just have to find what works for you. And I want to move on to saying, like, there's not a right way to, in a way there's a right way, but in a way there's not a right way. Because what works for me isn't going to work for, you know, for example, Jay. Like, Jay has no problem consuming dairy, and, like, she doesn't have, you know, breakouts or, like, gut issues or, like, digestion issues. You know, I have all that. Like, that's what happens to me. So, because, like, cheese and yogurt, like, I would love to be able to eat regular yogurt. I love Greek yogurt, but I can't do it because dairy does not agree with my body, which is fine. But it works fine for Jay. Like, and I suggested her, I'm like, Jay, because she was asking me like what type of, you know, food or like grocery recommendations would I give. And I was like, if I was somebody that ate normal, it would be protein, your veggies, fruits, and a healthy fat, which would be like your Greek yogurt, depending on which one it is, what brand or whatever. You could check the box of your protein and your healthy fat. And nuts are a big way. They're a healthy fat too. They're a healthy carb even. So again, it's conducive to the individual, your lifestyle, what you eat, what you restrict yourself from, which not even in a bad way, but I restrict myself from pretty much everything. But that's because I know my body and I know what it is and isn't going to reject or respond negatively to. And that's okay. It works for me, you know, the best that it can. I also know that I have to supplement like being anemic or like low iron or vitamin C with supplementation of a vitamin or something like that. And I'm okay with that because I know I don't get it through my food. But just my two cents of like, if there's whatever you can do to solve or cure with food, like food is literally our like healthiest, safest form of medicine, or the most common, biggest form of poison. Like it's literally you get to pick and choose what that's going to be. And that's kind of what I left Jay with today after our conversation, was just kind of like some very small points of like how to eat healthier, like quick grab and go options as a, you know, as someone who consumes a normal, regular American diet. And I feel good about it, you know, because I've been on my journey so long that I, you know, I was a normal eater, as I say, like back in Tennessee, I ate very normal. I moved here. I became a polo pescatarian, which is chicken and seafood. And then I went plant-based my second year of living here. And then my third year of living here, I went completely vegan. And now my fourth year of living here in Georgia, I've been just pescatarian. And now coming into my fifth year, I am going back to being vegan. So I've literally done a little bit of all of it, like everything. And that has just, you know, I've never had a nutritionist. I've never seen a dietitian or anything like that. But again, I follow a lot of credible sources and individuals on Instagram. And when I'm at work, instead of choosing to scroll on social media or whatever, I'm sitting at my work computer Googling, literally just learned this week. Because sometimes I feel uneasy when I eat rice. So I'm Googling like perfect, like how does rice break down in the body, like white rice or brown rice, even yellow rice, whatever. And it was saying how, because it is a grain, which this kind of is a segue into my next topic or whatever, but rice is actually considered a grain. I don't know that I really ever thought of it as a grain, like me personally, just thinking, but it makes sense that it is. But I did come across, whenever I was doing my research, that wild rice is our best and easiest to digest type of rice. But some articles were saying how white rice is an easy to digest food, but it is low in fat and fiber, which does make it easy on the stomach. I'm looking at it again, the same article that I had read at work, but because of the, like the restraint of starch that it is and the chemical like compound that rice is what makes it difficult for the body to digest it, if that makes sense. So I learned that, which basically I'm slowly taking rice out of my diet, which is really hard and is unfortunate because my pasta alternative or carb alternative is rice. Like instead of eating spaghetti, I use rice noodles, or instead of, you know, eating ramen, I make my quote unquote ramen out of rice noodles when I'm at a restaurant, or like even just like grocery shopping, that's my substitution. So I'll be taking that out of my diet. But yeah, so I do a lot of free willing self-education about nutrition and diet. And again, it's from sources that are .org, .edu, you know, so I know it's not just stuff on the internet, but it's credible. And there is no like, there's no correct or right time frame or proper time frame to quote unquote get it right. Because again, because it's conducive to the individual. And like, what does your lifestyle look like? Like, are you a busy mom? Like, are you a busy student? Are you a stay-at-home mom? Like, are you a stay-at-home wife? Like a stay-at-home girlfriend? Because depending on your lifestyle, that's going to be a lot of a determining factor as to what you're able to do or provide for yourself nutritionally. You know, if you're someone who works 3 12-hour shifts as a ER employee, you know, it could be easy or hard for you to decide which, you know, like what that's going to look like for you, whether you're able to meal prep or not. And then if you're somebody who works a traditional 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, that's going to look different for you. Or if you're somebody who works part time, you know, so that's why I say it's conducive to the person, because what works for me is not going to work for you or anyone else for that matter. And different things are going to work for each other. Like different times in your life is going to make more sense nutritionally to eat a certain way. And that's okay. I think that's something that should be accepted too, because I feel like people that are busy, because I kind of went through this, but when you're really busy, it's like, that's quote unquote, in the very, very beginning for me, it was an excuse. Like I'm so busy or whatever. Okay. So you're just going to settle for this for yourself and your body, which is really what made me get my act together. I was literally asked that just today. It was, what was the turning point for me? And I'm like, I got tired of looking at myself in the mirror and like comparing myself to others, to other women. And just like, I wasn't happy with what I saw in the mirror. And second of all, I forgot my second of all. My second of all was that I know my body deserved better, like inside wise and like just outside. I knew that my body deserved more than what I was and wasn't giving to it. So I had to change that real quick. But yeah, I definitely felt like I went through the whole like, oh, I don't have time, or like I'm too busy. But we literally all make time for what we want to make time for. And you got to get real with yourself. Like, you made time to go and buy a candy bar. I'm talking about myself. Like, I made time to go and buy a candy bar. Like, I made time to go and make an unhealthy choice. Like, why didn't I put in a little extra effort to make a healthy choice? That's all what it boils down to. And like, priorities, like what's important to you and what do you value as important for your life? Like, do you value it important that Monday through Friday you have a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich for breakfast with like bread and pork and fat and hypertension and high cholesterol? Like, do you value that? Or, and risk the chance of like possibly increasing your risk for heart disease or heart failure? Or do you value living a life of longevity, taking all the, you know, the healthy precautions as you can? And I'm not saying that junk food is not okay. Like, I will be the first to tell you, I have a Ziploc bag of Sour Patch Kids in my pantry right now. And every so often, like, I'll eat some. So I'm definitely not a stickler for like health all the time. More often than not, we should be making healthy choices, though. It takes the time and the effort to make those healthy choices. And that's in every area of life, too. Like, just so we, you know, are remembering that, too. Like, that's from job, like the circle we surround ourselves with, the people that we spend our time with, what we give our energy to, what we put in our body, what we listen to, you know, things like that. So it's important all across the board. It doesn't just apply nutritionally and physically, but that's obviously the conversation that is being had right now. So that's what we're going to stick to. Kind of went off topic a small bit there, but one type of lifestyle transition/change is I've been introducing a low FODMAP diet into my lifestyle. And if you haven't heard of it, the FODMAP acronym is F as in Franklin, O as in Ollie, D as in dog, M as in map, A as in apple, and P as in pineapple, FODMAP. And it stands for fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. And those are essentially poorly absorbed in the gut and can cause problems. So I want to just kind of read a little bit of these high FODMAP foods because honestly, before like the last, I kind of read up on this like 2 years ago and I didn't take it seriously because I was like, that's just a lot going on. But again, I didn't prioritize it at the time. At that time, I just prioritized being plant-based, which is what really brought this FODMAP diet or this FODMAP consumption to my attention. Because being plant-based, as I said, it's primarily derived of plants. Like, you're consuming a great deal of plants. You're not 100% vegan and you're not entirely vegetarian. You're not 100% vegan, but you're not necessarily a vegetarian. You're like over the vegetarian, you know, percentile, but then you're not completely vegan because you're plant-based. Your diet is based on plants. It's just like, you know, how they do like documentaries of celebrities and it's like, this is loosely based on Beyonce. Like, it's not about Beyonce's life, but it's has some, you know, similarities or whatever. So that's kind of the comparison with that. But high FODMAPs food, because there were certain foods that I was eating and I'm like, why do I feel like this? And being plant-based, I was still a clean eater, but I was eating processed stuff like every now and then. And like, I did read ingredient labels, but I wasn't as educated as I am now. So I'm like, oh, it'll be okay. But a couple of, oh, it'll be okay throughout the week. And like, look where you are, you know? So, but there were certain veggies that I was consuming and I'm like, why do I still feel like, I know it's a salad. Cause I've talked about it on here before too, I think, but like, I'm like, I had a green salad. Like, that was it. I made my own dressing of olive oil, salt, pepper, red wine, vinegar. Like, that's it. So I know I'm not eating anything that I don't know what the ingredient is in this. So when I would Google, like, why does my stomach hurt when I have cabbage or broccoli or, cauliflower or spinach or kale, because what's two of the biggest things that you're suggested to put in smoothies to help with, you know, fiber going to the restroom is greens, deeply rooted, deep colored greens, your kale and your spinach is like the number two ones. So I'm going to take the time now to just read the high FODMAP foods. And again, these are the foods that are poorly absorbed by your gut. So to start with the veggies, it's artichoke. I love artichoke. Asparagus. I've always gotten sick with asparagus. Cauliflower makes me feel very uneasy. Garlic, green peas, mushrooms, onion, sugar snap peas. Moving on to fruits. Apples, apple juice, cherries, dried fruit, mango, nectarines, peaches, pears, plums, and watermelon. Dairy and alternatives, milk, ice cream, soy milk made from whole soybeans, sweetened condensed milk, and yogurt. Protein sources, legumes, some marinated meats / poultry / seafood, and some processed meats. Processed meats would be like your potted meat, Vienna sausages, sardines, jerkies, your dried meats. Breads and cereals, wheat, rye, barley, basically gluten in that sense. Breakfast cereals, biscuits and snack products. Sugars and sweeteners, any high fructose corn syrup, honey, sugar-free, confectionery, nuts and seeds or cashews and pistachios. Y'all, when I tell you that it's absolutely insane, because each article has like different stuff listed on it, but I literally had green peas this week with my meal prep, and I'm like, why is my stomach hurting? I assumed it was like because it's a high FODMAP, because everything else on my plate was like, I'm like, there's no reason this should make me feel this way. And I narrowed it down to it being the green peas. Makes total sense now. Legumes such as like beans and peas. I cannot eat any beans. They make my stomach hurt like crazy. Breads and cereals like gluten, all this makes sense, which is crazy because I love cashews. Like, not really an almond girl, not really a walnut girl, not really a peanut girl. I love cashews though. Okay, but moving on to low FODMAP alternatives, here we go. Vegetables: eggplant, green beans, bok choy, bell pepper, cucumbers, carrots, lettuce, potato, tomato, zucchini. Fruits are cantaloupe, grapes, kiwi fruit, mandarin, oranges, pineapple, and strawberries. Dairy alternatives: almond milk, brie cheese, feta cheese, hard cheeses, lactose-free cheese, soy milk made from soy protein. That's interesting because the soy milk is listed as a high FODMAP and a low FODMAP. Okay, so the high FODMAP category where it says dairy and alternatives, it says soy milk in parentheses made from whole soybeans. The low FODMAP category, it says dairy alternatives, soy milk in parentheses made from soy protein. So I guess a derivative of a soy protein is different than what is extracted from soybeans. Not really sure. That would require further investigation and research. Low FODMAP alternatives for protein sources, eggs, firm tofu. Again, interesting because tempeh is on here too. Tofu and tempeh are both derivatives from a soybean, like it comes from the soybean plant. So that's really interesting how it's listed as low FODMAP, but high FODMAP for the dairy part. Meats, poultry, seafood, marinated in lemon juice with olive oil, black pepper, or Italian herbs. Breads and cereals are cornflakes, oats, rice, which is interesting because oats are not naturally gluten-free. Like, you have to search for gluten-free oats, like oatmeal. Which I don't know what makes it not be gluten-free. But it says oats as a low FODMAP alternative. But non-gluten-free oatmeal for those that have a gluten sensitivity or a celiac disease or a gluten intolerance can't consume non-gluten-free oats because it evokes digestion issues and it's poorly absorbed in our gut, which is what high FODMAP foods are, which are poorly absorbed in the gut. Very interesting. Sourdough split bread. See? Y'all, I don't think I might got a good one in front of me because it also says a low FODMAP alternative in that breads and cereals category is wheat, rye. Oh, it says wheat, rye, and barley free breads. Okay, I got it. Sugars and sweeteners, last two categories, sugars and sweeteners, dark chocolate, maple syrup, rich malt syrup, and table sugar. Nuts and seeds are macadamias, peanuts, pumpkin seeds, and walnuts, which is interesting because peanuts and peanut butter are not properly or easily absorbed by the digestion. Like, it doesn't break down in the body. So that's really interesting. But yeah, I wanted to share that because I think the low and high FODMAP is like so interesting, because I know, like, let me see. I want to read a little bit about the acronym FODMAP. So FODMAP, fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols are poorly absorbed in the gut and cause problems by drawing water out of the intestines and producing gas as they ferment. I do know that, I can't remember because it was last summer and I don't remember, but I studied the polysaccharides, monosaccharides, oligosaccharides, and disaccharides last summer in chemistry, and it does involve like a sugar content, or there's like one of them is like two things that make up a sugar, one of the saccharides. So I know that a little bit about the whole acronym explanation thing, which is not a lot, but that's kind of, I guess, just to piece together. And I guess once you hear the differences between like the low and high too, it like, just knowing these foods naturally, like the fruits and veggies it was comparing, like the its sugars content, I guess that kind of makes sense. But yeah, which is crazy because I always cook with onion and garlic. Like, I feel like those are like the two top tier seasonings that pretty much everyone uses. I mean, I guess unless you're like a super chef or like you're a Bobby Flay or someone like that who like really cooks. But so I eliminated onion and garlic out of my diet like a month and a half ago. So it's very bland over here, but you'll feel great. Like, you'll feel amazing digestively. And then I wanted to talk a little bit about the paleo diet because I recently, like 2 weeks ago, y'all, I went grain free. I already don't eat corn. So like any tortillas or anything like that, like tortilla chips or whatever, I always get the Siete brand, Siete, because for one, corn doesn't digest in the body. But I noticed for me, like, when I consume grains, I get, like, stomach pains. So I recently switched to a grain-free diet, and I had been meaning to read up on, like, paleo. And, okay, the paleo diet includes fruits, veggies, lean meats, fish, eggs, nuts, and seeds. Honestly, every American should be eating a paleo diet. Like, this is literally, if you look at the food pyramid or whatever, which was created ages ago, or like even the revamped ones, like they have this like fruits, veggies, meats, fish, eggs, and nuts and seeds. Like, this is what we all are supposed to be eating. But I think paleo has some type of, I think paleo is like on the basis of like the whole grain-free life. Let me see. Yeah, I think paleo has something. Oh, yeah, paleo diet excludes gluten and other grains like oats, rice, and corn. Oh, yeah. I did not know corn was a grain. Interesting. You learn something new every day. But, yeah, so I wanted to talk about those a little bit. And lastly, I just want to share, like, three things that you guys can utilize for, like, if you are, like, someone who eats, like, you know, packaged or processed things or whatever. If you're not someone like me who likes to sit in the grocery store, like, I like to read an ingredient label. Like, if I see something, I'm like, oh, that sounds good, let me grab it and see. Like, whether it's, like, a, you know, like, a snack bag, like, a snack pack of, like, gluten-free cookies. Because even though it's gluten-free or it's even grain-free, sometimes there is hidden junky ingredients in there. So I always just want to, like, make double sure that, like, I'm not spending my money on something that I'm either not going to be able to eat or that I'm not, or I'm going to eat and not feel well with just because of the ingredient label. So, but like I said, I'm someone who will see something, oh, I haven't had that before, let me look at the ingredient label, I might want to buy this. And when I look at the ingredient label, I'm like, this isn't going to check out for me. Or I'm like, okay, this is a great ingredient label, because that is how I learn a lot, is by self-educating. It's funny because my brother, Matt, he'll go to the grocery store with me. Grocery store trips that should be like only an hour are like 4 or 5 hour tops for me, because I sit there and I read everything and then I type it myself into the Google search bar. I don't know why I like to do it that way. I just do. And I may have shared this with you guys before, but there's an app called the Yucca app, Y-U-K as in Kelly, Y-U-K-A as in Apple, Yucca app. and you can scan the barcode on whatever the back of your bag to purchase, and it'll pull up like excuse me, the toxicity of that ingredient, or what the toxic ingredients are, how much of that toxic ingredient is included in the product that you're buying. That's what I've been explained to, that's what it is. I've never used the app before. I think it's a great and cool app though, since that's what its purpose is for. But like I said, me personally, I prefer to just read it and be like, oh, what is that? Then I get to do what I'm doing right now, which is talk everyone's head off about it. And then there's two ingredient. Oh my gosh, talking too much about food. There are two Instagram pages that I follow that I really enjoy, because they educate you a lot about like glyphosates and like chemicals and like additives and like added sugars and things like just so. And that's ranging from like food to products you put on your body, hair care, toothpaste, like all this, like literally everything that we use, plastics, like Tupperware containers, like literally everything. And they're always constantly sharing information about what we're purchasing or what we're consuming. And another really cool thing is too, is like the owner of the account or whatever, she's actually a certified nutritionist. And she, like, let's say you have barbecue sauce. She's going to post the traditional one that people always buy, which is Kraft. She'll post the second better one that has a healthier, more clean ingredient label. And she'll post a third one. She'll always do like 1, 2, 3 of whatever product it is. Like I said, barbecue sauce, ketchup, apple juice, whatever. She'll post, and it's good to know, because you can know moving forward that these are the brands that you should buy, or these are the brands you should limit buying. But she'll include Kraft and explain why Kraft is the bad one. Like literally, she puts like bad, better, and best, or good, better, and best. So she'll do Kraft, post the ingredients or whatever, and like explain what ingredients on that label are not, you know, are not healthy to consume. Or are potentially toxic ingredients. The second, you know, let's say it's Kraft, and let's say the next brand is, maybe it's natural, but it's not organic. So she'll post why it's natural and like why it's better than the Kraft traditional or like most common household one. And then she'll post like an organic or just literally the best option for that. Again, I really love her page because I learned so much through that way too. Like if we're going to be having social media, let's utilize it to our advantage. And like this content that she puts out is totally 100% free. It's called Just Ingredients, literally all one word, lowercase, the word just and the word ingredients all together, one. And she's on Instagram. I think her name is like Carly or Carlene or something like that. And she has her own line of a lot of different products. Like during the holidays, like she'll post her hot chocolate. The summer, they have a sunscreen, they have a toothpaste, body wash, body lotion, shampoo, conditioner. Like she has a lot of different things of her own. And her products are, I can't remember the name of it, but it's like world certified to be healthy to use. I forget the name of the actual program that, like the American program it's called, but it's like certified by them that it's the complete healthy thumbs up, which is really nice. And then for anyone that has little kiddos, or even if you don't and you're like me and you consume children things like the little fruit pouches or the applesauce pouches, because a lot of the time the kid food ingredient labels are a lot better than like the ones for the adults. And even then sometimes the kid ones are like just icky and you shouldn't get them. Cause like the name brand fruit, like fruit snacks are like, they'll have like color dyes in them or like artificial sweeteners and sugars. So for those of you that have kiddos, there's a page called Kids Eat in Color, and that's like completely devoted to children. So, you know, children's sunblock. I cannot talk for the rest of this. Children's sunblock, snacks, foods, even clothes, like the materials that clothes are made out of and things like that. It's called Kids Eat in Color. It's on Instagram and Facebook. Just Ingredients is also on Facebook too, even if you don't have an Instagram. But yeah, all three of those are really helpful sources to utilize. Like I said, it's free. You know, if we're going to be spending time on social media, why not use it to our advantage and like actually help it, let it help elevate us as people, like live a healthier life and whatnot. So I hope that this episode has been very informative to you, because I have most definitely enjoyed sharing this content today and recording this with you. And thank you for taking the time out to listen, playing it in your car, during your workout, as you fall asleep, like whatever, whenever you play or listen to this, I thank you for that. And stay along for the ride, because I've definitely got a lot of ideas turning in my head. I know episodes aren't coming out very quick as of late, but I've been sticking and moving, as the young kids say, and I've just been on go. So just bear with me, and there may be some adjustments being made to my podcast, such as like maybe bi-weekly, you know, postings instead of every week, as I would love to do that. That's not conducive to my lifestyle, but we adjust with the times and what we have, and we make it happen. So I want to leave you guys on that note. And again, thank you so much for listening. And I would love to hear your feedback of what you thought of this episode. I appreciate you guys. Thanks again.